go. That's happening. Ooh. Okay. Got it. Exodus chapter number 8. This is the plague of the frogs. Hugh Pyle. Yep. I read the sermon, the famous sermon that came from Hugh Pyle preached out of this chapter called One More Night with the Frogs. And it's based on, as we'll see, Pharaoh saying, take the frogs away. And Moses says, when? And Pharaoh says, tomorrow. So he decides one more night with the frogs will be all right. But you know, in all of these plagues, everything the Lord does, there are so many responses that Pharaoh has to God's commands. And that's what I want to show you, five of them in this second plague here, that really you would notice in your own life that when God gives a command, these things, one of these things probably creeps up in your mind and heart, one of these responses, and you just have to be aware of it. I think of in the New Testament when Paul talks about how Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God are able to discern these internal thoughts of, you know, what's a carnal thought and what's a spiritual thought. And that's what we're going to do. And I'm going to show you in these opportunities Pharaoh has, he runs the gamut of responses to God's command. And they're just carnal responses. I put down there satanic responses, and that's kind of a strong word, but I don't know. That's a word that gets people's attention. But it is. I mean, they're carnal responses to God's command. So there's five of them. Exodus chapter 8, and starting in verse 1, let's pray, and then we will look at these responses and try to identify them in our own lives here. But let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for each soul that's here. Do lift up those that are sick. There seem to be a lot of folks sick the last couple weeks. I pray you would heal up their bodies, help them. And then those that are traveling, you give them safety as they're traveling, get them back home safe. And that you'd help us through this study here and help us learn from your words to shed light on our own carnal thoughts and things that start to creep up. It's like Paul said, the evil that's present with us when you would do good. And so pray you'd help us with this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Exodus chapter 8. I'm going to read the account. And it goes through verse 15. And then we'll come back and make these applications to it. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh, say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, into thy bedchamber, upon thy bed, into thy house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, into thy kneading troughs, and the frogs shall come up both on thee, upon thy people, upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thy hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt. The frogs came up, covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, Entreat the Lord that they may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee, and for thy servants, and for thy people, to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee, from thy houses, from thy servants, from thy people. They shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, out of the fields. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Five responses from Pharaoh, all in these verses. And they are just, they are carnal responses to God's instruction. And we each have all of these responses in our flesh. I mean, that's because they're just carnal responses. First thing I notice is this response. It's implied in the verses. You don't necessarily have an interaction between Pharaoh and Moses recorded, but the Lord says, go to Pharaoh, tell him what's going to happen if he doesn't let the people go. And then the next set of verses are essentially the plague happening. So it's implied that Pharaoh just went about his business and he wasn't interested, yet again, not interested in Moses and his complaints and his request to let the people go. So this is the first one is just mockery. And it is, God commands Pharaoh to let the people go, and it's the response that says, hey, I'll just take my chances. You know, whatever. I'll take my chances. You say there's frogs coming. We'll see if there's frogs coming or not. And so it's kind of this mockery and maybe neglect, but it's definitely unbelief. And it was Pharaoh's typical response. He kind of had that response earlier on, but he's not really moved. And he's decided, I'll take my chances with this whatever plague Moses is thinking he's going to conjure up next. And I think about it with our own lives, and because Pharaoh is really just satanic influences personified, this is a response that I've known people to have, and I've had it in myself. And when you know the Lord has given a very clear instruction about something, it's very clear. This is my will. The Lord gives very clear direction that this is the will of God. And your response is, well, I'll take my chances. We'll see. And the reality is, there really aren't any chances to take. It's just you're going to convince yourself that there is another option that is going to be without consequence. And if I just sort of ignore what God's saying, then, you know, it'll all kind of blow over and all that kind of thing. But the first response is just this kind of mockery. And I've noticed it in myself in times past and noticed it in people, conversations with people, and you've probably noticed it in yourself. You've known something that was very clear direction. It was no mistake. The Lord wants me to do this. And the response is, well, we'll see. We'll see about that. And that's the first response Pharaoh has. And it's implied in the verses here. Doesn't talk about the interaction Moses and Pharaoh have, but it's implied that Pharaoh doesn't really have any sort of regard for God's instruction there. So the first response is mockery. Second response here is the typical thing he's done the last couple of times. Is he brings out the magicians, and they just mimic and imitate what God did. So that's in verse 5 through 7 there. But the second response is imitation. So after the frogs, the plague shows up, And this doesn't. I don't know. It makes some sense why they're imitating this, but I'm thinking you guys are just, you make the problem worse. You're bringing on more stuff. And so these magicians, after the plague, I can't even imagine what it's like, but there's frogs everywhere. There's frogs not only outside the houses, there's frogs in the houses, there's frogs in people's bedrooms, there's frogs in people's kitchens, there's frogs in people's dishes, and they're just everywhere. The only time I had some sort of experience with something maybe similar to this, I remember being out on a rig in, I don't know if it's East Texas or might have been somewhere in East Texas, but I was on a rig and middle of the night, and we had crickets that were literally everywhere. They were just everywhere. They were just everywhere. And you know, you're on this little a few acre area here where the rig is, the pad there where the rig is, and you got, you know, mobile lights, you know, the generators and stuff like that. And so you're just kind of out in the darkness with these lights and all that stuff, and it's at night, and I mean, there were crickets. I mean, it was just like looking in front of your hand, it was like a fog. I mean, it was so many crickets. They were everywhere. I don't know where they came from. I don't know where they were going, but they were just there. And it was, I can't imagine like that, something like that with frogs all over a nation in everybody's house, everybody's kitchen, in their bedrooms, in their bowls, in their utensil drawers, everywhere. And then the magicians come in and they create, or whatever they do, they bring about more frogs just to show that it can be done. And so they do this thing and they imitate. But it does reveal something about the power of God versus the power of the devil and why the devil responds the way he does sometimes. So this imitation, you notice that these magicians cannot undo the work that's been done. They can't send the frogs back to the water. All they can do is make the appearance or somehow bring about more frogs and just imitate the work. And it's very, very characteristic of the devil. So the devil can't undo the work of God. So he'll often just camouflage himself as though he is doing the work of God. So he's doing something. It reminds me of 2 Corinthians, which you can look at in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12. A good little cross-reference to all this. In the way the devil works. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 says this in verse 12. Paul says, "But what I do, that I'll do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we." Okay, let's keep going. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." So we can't undo the work, so what we're going to appear to be is a part of the work. "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So the idea being that when you match Satan's power and God's power, Satan's power is deception. That's where his real power lies. And he can't undo things that God's done. These magicians can't send the frogs back to the water. They can't turn the blood back to water that's in Egypt. So they mimic this thing. And it's just typical of the way Satan handles things. It's the whole, remember the parable, the wheat and the tares, where the wicked one goes and he sows tares among the wheat and they imitate the wheat and they look like the wheat. And the point is, he can't grow wheat himself. He doesn't have the ability to do what God's doing or even to undo what God's doing. So what he does is he just looks like he's doing something that's similar to what God's doing. And in that scope of ministry, he just minimizes the work of God. So these magicians, they go out there, they don't send the frogs back. All they do is they create more frogs. And of course, Pharaoh's, again, thinking, you know, this must just be a bunch of magic stuff, and okay. But apparently this plague gets to him a little bit worse this time. Apparently the water thing, he must have had some more water in the palace or something, because after a week of blood running through Egypt, it doesn't seem to matter to him. But the frogs seem to matter to him. So after however long of frogs, he says, get Moses back in here because we need to get the frogs out of here. Second response is imitation. And you see that. It either leads somebody astray, or it provides an alternative source of influence in your life, just like Satan engages the senses and provides more influence to a person. You know, the Lord's trying to get influence in this part of your life, and then Satan provides more influence through more senses, and he imitates the work. And that's it. That's how he camouflages. That's how he does that thing. So, but that said, after this plague goes on for however long, it doesn't look like it goes on for too long, Pharaoh gets tired of it and says, all right, get Moses back in here. I need to get rid of the frogs. Do what, Shirley? Yeah. But not too soon. Let's just get them back in here and let's make a deal here. This is the third response, really. The third response. This time around, Pharaoh is not willing to let this go on for a week or however long he lets it go on. So he calls for Moses and Aaron, and he makes a proposal. Clear out the frogs and I'll let the people go. Now, knowing Pharaoh, is this true or is this false? It's not. He's not going to let the people go. He just needs you to relieve the pressure. And the pressure is getting pretty big, because apparently the frogs are now in his house and he doesn't like that. And so the third response is deception. It's deception. And Pharaoh makes this deal. He calls for Moses in verse 8. He says, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And really, this is the bargaining with God, or the trying to make a bargain. You and I can be really good at this, that when the pressure's on, okay, Lord, if you do this, I will do this. And then when the pressure's off, okay, well, I don't feel any pressure now. I don't feel any obligation to do anything I told you I would do. That's Pharaoh. We're good at that too. If you'll take this away, then I'll do that, Lord. If you'll give me a husband or a wife, then I'll serve you. Or if you'll make this pain go away, then I'll serve you. All that stuff. And then when the pressure's released, well then, okay, we're... Pharaoh gets what he wants out of the deal, and he doesn't feel any obligation to honor his part of it. So it's just deceptive bargaining is all it is. Pharaoh says this, and maybe I'm being too hard on Pharaoh here. I don't think so, but let's just say he has good intentions. Let's just say he really does intend to let the people go. Just hypothetically, he really does intend to let the people go. This is an excellent illustration of how deceptive the carnality or the flesh is. That when the pressure's on, you may fully intend, I will, Lord, I will serve you. If you'll give me this, I will serve you. And then he gives it to you, or you get it, and then, okay, well... all those intentions go out the window. Why? Because the pressure's off now. So Pharaoh, the third response he has, first is mockery, Second is imitation. Third is deception, where he makes this deal with God or tries to make a deal. And even if your intention is good, going back to that assumption, let's just assume that the intention is good. Even if your intention is good, you're still just trying to bargain with God. The right attitude with God is what the Ninevites experienced. So the Ninevites, they understand the judgment of God is on their city and on their nation. And what they end up saying is, we don't know if this is going to turn out good. Nevertheless, we are going to get rid of all the wickedness in our city and in our nation. And we don't know if that's going to turn out good. We don't know if God will even care whether we do this. And so in Jonah chapter 3, the Ninevites, the Bible says they believe God. And they get rid of all this stuff. They fast for 3 days and three nights. And, I mean, even make the animals fast. But their statement is, we don't know if God will be merciful to us or not. Meaning, our surrender is not conditional. We are going to do the right thing, whether it turns out right or whether it turns out wrong. We're going to do the right thing. That's the difference between bargaining with God and saying, well, if you'll do this, God, then I'll do this. That you're still just bargaining with God. The right attitude is, I'm going to do right whether this turns out right or doesn't turn out right. I'm just going to do the right thing. So Pharaoh's response, third response, is deception. And Moses says, okay, Pharaoh, glory over me. What is that? Oh, great. Praise God. Good. I'm glad you've come to your senses, Pharaoh. You want to get this plague out of here and let the people go. Verse 9, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee? And now here's the fourth response. When do you want me to do this, Pharaoh? When do you want this done? And Pharaoh says, tomorrow. Do it tomorrow. I'll put up with the frogs one more night. We'll all put up with them. Just do it tomorrow. So the fourth response is procrastination. And this is where that infamous, not infamous, but famous sermon by Hugh Pyle, One More Night with the Frogs, comes from. And he gives a few points on that. Now, briefly, they're good points, but it's thoughts like, number one, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. You can't put this off until tomorrow because you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. Number two, something worse could happen tomorrow. What happens if you put this off and then you just bring upon yourself something worse? And then there's, I forget the third one, but that was essentially, and he did it a whole lot better. I just gave you the rundown of the sermon. But that's the fourth response, is procrastination. But Moses seems excited that Pharaoh sounds like he's interested in letting the people go. Glory over me, like praise God, glory. Let's do this. When do you want me to do this, Pharaoh? Pharaoh says, tomorrow. And so there are just a few problems with that we mentioned. Procrastination, number one, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, like James says. He says, boast not thyself tomorrow, because you don't know what a day is going to bring forth. You can't make any promises on tomorrow. God can make some promises on tomorrow, but you can't make any promises on tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know where you'll be. And how many times in life where you thought you would be one place and, you know, in a matter of 24 hours, you are in a totally different place than you thought you would be earlier, because health, because car wreck, accident, something happens. Point is, you don't know what a day is going to bring forth. Jesus said, sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. So do today what you're going to do. Salvation today. That's what Paul quotes in Corinthians. Now, today is the accepted time. But Pharaoh procrastinates. He says, tomorrow. Just do it tomorrow. And then Moses, tomorrow, does it. He sends all the frogs back into the water. And what frogs don't go back into the water are piled up in heaps and burned or something. I don't know. They're just, the Bible says the land just stinks because there's so much frog death everywhere. And of course, after the plague is remitted, after it's gone away, Pharaoh does what Pharaoh is going to do. Verse 15, when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart, hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. So the last thing he does is he just goes back to ignoring the command of God. After all of this, just back to ignoring the command of God. After Moses does what he asks, gets rid of the frogs the next day, sure enough, as soon as the pressure's off again, Pharaoh's heart's hardened, he's right back to hating the Lord. And I think a warning is appropriate here. If you find yourself, you know, if you find yourself up and down, wanting to do right when life gets good, or put it this way, wanting to do right when life gets hard, then returning to old habits when the pressure's off, you know, you get pressure on, I want to do good, pressure off, okay, I'm back to my old habits. And you find your life is this up and down roller coaster. That is not the life of a Christian. That's the life of Pharaoh. That's the life of an unbeliever. That's the life of this carnal man. You could even say satanic man. But that's his roller coaster of a life. He's manipulative. It's all about how you know his pleasure. How can he control the situation? Things like that. And so he's not interested in listening to God. He's not interested in obeying God. And consequently, his life is just, okay, maybe I'll do right when things are getting really hard. Okay, yes, just relieve the pressure. Just relieve the pressure. Okay, the pressure's relieved. Okay, I'm not interested in doing right anymore. That's the life of Pharaoh. That's not the life of a Christian. That isn't the life of faithful Moses. Moses isn't up and down like that in this way. It's the life of the tyrant Pharaoh. It isn't the life of God's kingdom. It's the life of the devil's world. This, okay, I'm going to do good, and oh, just take this pressure off me. Okay, the pressure's off. Okay, I'm back to whatever I was doing before. That's just the life of the devil's world. And so he goes back to hardening his heart. He's not interested yet again in the things of God. And I will say all these responses you may find in your own self, the mockery, the just kind of, hey, I'll take my chances with that attitude. That's not a good response. But you'll find that probably in your own flesh. I find it in mine. This imitation, I see God's power, but, you know, the world has some power of its own, and I'm more fascinated with that. This imitation, and that really is the MO of satanic work. He just imitates because he can't undo anything that God did, so he just imitates it and poses as a credible source of influence. Third is deception, where it's just this false negotiation. If you'll do this, then I'll do this, Lord. If you'll do this, then I'll do this. Just deception. And Paul would say that the lusts, that he calls them in the body, he calls them deceitful lusts, where they promise, there seems to be this promise of fulfillment and satisfaction in the flesh, but that's never what it is. It's always, sin is always this, just one more time. And that's the idea, just do it just one more time. It's not do it 100 more times. Sin is just one more time, and then we'll be done. Just one more time, then we'll be done. One more time, just one more time. And Paul says that's just the deceitfulness of, that's deceitful lust. That's how they act. That's what the flesh tries to promise in order to get its way. Just one more time, and then we'll be done. That's not true. You won't be done. You're not going to be done because it's not your nature to be done. Deception. You deal deceitfully, or you procrastinate. just put it off. We'll wait. I'll get it done later. I'll do that later. Oh, the Lord says, here's the thing to do. Do it today. Do it now. Get it done. Well, we'll do it tomorrow. We'll do it tomorrow. Procrastination. And then finally, when things start to go good, pressure's off, you just find yourself back to ignoring what God said. That's the unfortunate cycle of carnality and the life in the devil's world, really. It's not the life of a Christian. It's just the life in a carnal world, trying to respond to God. So all of these things, this is all Pharaoh. And I saw something interesting in the next plague that I'll just mention here before we get going. Between this plague, the frogs, and the lice, there's no communication between Pharaoh and Moses. It's like God sees Pharaoh hardening his heart when he removes the frogs, and he immediately just sends lice onto Egypt. It's like there's not even a time where Moses goes to Pharaoh and says, let my people go or I'm going to send lice. There's none of that. It's just God's almost angry response with, I'm sick of you not listening to me. And so the next plague is like his response to this hardening that Pharaoh has when God removes the frogs and Pharaoh just hardens his heart and God just immediately lice on the nation. We're just going to send lice on the nation now. And that's going to be a bad thing. But we'll talk about it next week. But all of these plagues, I thought it was a very orderly thing where there was this process where Moses would attempt to plead with Pharaoh. Pharaoh would say no, God would send a plague, but they're not all like that necessarily. Sometimes God just sends a plague because he's tired of dealing with Pharaoh. It's kind of interesting. So we'll talk about that next week. But these right here are just the responses, satanic responses or carnal responses to God's instruction. And you'll find it in yourself, in your flesh. This is how our flesh responds when we know the clear will of God, and you just have to be aware of these things, how you respond. So there you go. Let's pray. We'll get out of here. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your words. And I pray this has been helpful. Going through this process of redemption of the nation of Israel from Egypt, and just incredible history here. And it's just marvelous and wonderful what you did in Egypt. Not in a good way wonderful to some people, but just incredible power displayed in all this. Pray we'd make the applications we need to make, and I know that there is a little bit of a Pharaoh in all of us, in our flesh for sure. This is what we think. This is how we negotiate terms with you and how our flesh wants to negotiate terms with you. And it's not productive. Lord, I pray we'd learn what we need to learn from this. Learn our Bibles, learn what you said, learn your nature, your character, and all this. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.